I knew I had product market fit when I helped three people start childcare programs out of their homes. I visited their programs, I saw them, and I changed three people's lives. And I was like, oh, this is a thing. This will scale.
Hi, welcome to the Founders with Pep podcast, where I interview amazing entrepreneurs from diverse backgrounds about their journeys, successes, failures, and lessons along the way. On this episode, we have Chris Bennett, the CEO of Wonderschool, often described as the Airbnb of private school, like a pre-home, at-home preschool, so that folks can start their own in-home preschool. And Wonderschool is that platform. So welcome to the show, Chris.
Heck, thanks for having me on the show. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to cover someone who's doing something quite amazing. From what I understand, you know, it's so mission-driven, right? Like, teachers already don't make a lot of money, and you've created a platform for them to be able to make, not only, you know, to for one, parents to be able to find preschools, because that's really hard to find, and then also teachers to even make more money.
Yep. Yeah. Really exciting.
Yeah. Very cool. How I see from TechCrunch a few 3 years ago, you raised $20 million. I'm sure maybe that's not up to date. What's going on there?
We raised about $24 million. You know, we have a pretty strong revenue model, and we've been able to be pretty cash efficient.
Amazing. Amazing. And for the audience, could you share some of the stats as well? How many teachers have you helped, and how many schools have they started, and how many students?
Yeah, so we work with thousands of schools. We're operating in 26 different states in the U.S. We're a company based in the Bay Area, but we're, you know, a fully remote company like a lot of companies. I'm currently living in San Francisco. I'm in Miami right now, so I'm in Miami for the week, just hanging out with some friends. And I grew up in Miami originally, and so I'm here with some friends and family. And, you know, we're rapidly expanding the company and looking to get into all 50 states as soon as possible.
How has COVID affected the business?
You know, COVID, as you can imagine, with childcare created, we had to, you know, pivot and adapt a lot. A lot of parents started to unenroll their kids from childcare. And our revenue model pre-pandemic was based off of a percentage of transactions. And so transaction volume plummeted, holy moly. And so it was pretty crazy in March and April. And since then, you know, we've started to expand the company pretty rapidly. We're growing across every function. And the growth has just been really, really exciting. And, you know, and now that things are opening, it's causing us to experience even more growth. Another thing that's happening in our market is now that parents are moving to telework and they're living and working all over the country, the need of our offering becomes a lot more interesting, because we support in-home childcare. That's the main focus of the platform. And in-home childcare allows for a very flexible system where childcare can get created, where there's demand, it shuts down, where there isn't demand. And we're seeing, you know, parents move to places, into cities that didn't really have as much of a growing population pre-pandemic as they are having now. And there's a need for the creation of childcare in a lot of these markets.
Yeah. So both from a demand side and also from a opportunity side, I think both opportunities just seem to be growing in this way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How are you creating growth? How are you driving growth, and how are you growing the company?
So we grow in a number of ways. You know, one of the main ways we grow is we support existing childcare programs. So we have technology for in-home childcare programs, and they use our technology to help them manage their website. They manage billing. They manage enrollments. They communicate with parents through our platform. And they do all of that through the Wonderschool platform. And then we help people create childcare programs so they can go and create childcare programs on the Wonderschool platform. And so we're seeing a little bit of both happening right now.
It's a SaaS revenue model on top of, you mentioned transactions.
Marketplaces, man.
Marketplace.
We've got so many different revenue line items. So we get SaaS, from individuals looking to use our technology. Sometimes we'll take a percentage of the sale. So we take a percentage of the enrollment. We have partnerships where if we, you know, we can bring spots to employers and employers will pay us. And then we partner with, you know, governments and we partner with employers to create childcare and they pay us to do that.
Amazing. So many revenue streams.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so interesting.
What were the early days like? You know, you I read that your co-founder had problem finding childcare, which led you to come up with this idea. What were you working on? My first question would be, what were you working on? What was the first idea if you didn't have this idea? And you mentioned your co-founder.
I was working on a company called Soldzy. And Soldzy is a way for an individual to sell their products on social media. We created this thing called comment selling, where people could comment to buy something on a social media platform. And, you know, we ran that for a while and then we decided to focus on a new idea, which led to Wonder School.
Yeah. It seems like you were pretty entrepreneurial. You know, you started, you did Liquid Books when you were younger. Was that in college?
Yeah. I started a company called Liquid Books in college.
Yeah. Just tell us about that.
Yeah. So that was really fun. I was in a fraternity and in my fraternity, I kept hearing, my parents are immigrants. They're from Honduras. I grew up in Miami. I was the first in my family to go to college. And, you know, I had to be really mindful about money when I went to college. And I remember going to the bookstore and like seeing the price of books. And I was like, holy moly, they're so expensive. And so I went on Amazon and found that you could buy books for cheaper on Amazon. So I bought the books used on Amazon, and even that was expensive. I'm getting anxiety just thinking about it. So and then I bought these books. And then at the end of the year, I'm like, okay, I don't need the damn like Math 104 book. So I sold it on Amazon and I put it back online. And when I looked at the end of the month, at the end of the semester, I was like, yeah, I broke even. That's pretty cool. So I'm just going to keep doing that over and over. And I'm sitting in my dorm room, in sophomore year, I'm sitting in the fraternity house and I'm selling my books. And this guy across the hall from me is like, hey, will you sell my books for me? I was like, sure. And so I sold his books. He didn't know how to sell books online. It was really easy. And so I sold the books online. And then like everyone in my fraternity wanted me to sell their books. And so then I, you know, this is around the time Facebook launched. And so I started putting up Facebook ads and putting up flyers. I put up a website and, you know, all these people wanted me to sell their books. And so I just started selling books and I learned how to code in college. And so I, you know, wrote these algorithms that helped me figure out what was the right price to charge. And I was selling books on Amazon. And then, you know, the interesting story about entrepreneurship is like companies die when the founder just gives up. And with Liquid Books, I just gave up. Like, you know, at the end of one semester, one of my co-founder got a job at Microsoft and she got a job as a PM. And I didn't know what a PM did. And I had no idea, you know, what one would do at Microsoft. But I was like, I guess I'm gonna go get a job. And so I just quit running Liquid Books. And I just emailed all the customers, like, come pick up your books. The business
is didn't even want to just sell it or anything.
I didn't even know to, you know, and I didn't know how to raise money. I didn't know anything. Like my biggest skill as an entrepreneur is I'm really good at coming up with ideas and getting them launched. And, you know, I created that business like in my sleep. It was just so, so intuitive for me. But to scale a business, that's really hard. You know, we could have scaled it. And so that's what I think about a lot with Wonder School. Like you got to just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. There's many startups kind of in the book selling space that I remember, you know, even in University of Illinois, there was even a local one where trucks, you know, like trucks would drive up and, you know, right after graduation, you know, after your finals, like, hey, we'll buy your books.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, you know, for the next year and stuff. So it seems to be a recurring theme that students independently discover opportunities.
It's a clear business. It's like so obvious.
Yeah,
it's
textbooks are such a scam. So
yeah,
I feel
it's a scam.
You're very humble and you kind of glossed over this, but you mentioned, you know, your parents are immigrants and you're the first one to go to college, right?
Yeah.
And not just any college. You freaking went to Wharton. Well, that's a big deal. How'd you get into Wharton? And, you know, tell us about school and those opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was in this program called the International Baccalaureate Program, IB, in high school. And I was the first in my family to go to college. So I was in this IB program, and I remember it's like, holy moly, this is so hard, and these kids are so smart. But I was a good student. I was pretty much a straight A student in high school. And because my parents didn't have a lot of money, I always had businesses. So in high school, I sold baseball cards and I sold burn CDs, and I sold concert tickets. And I lived like a pretty decent, you know, lifestyle. Like I had a car, I could go out, you know, and I could apply for college. And I did this all with like my own money. And in the IB program, I had a friend whose mom went to Penn. And she noticed that I was doing all this like entrepreneurial work. And she's like, Chris, you know, Penn has this school called the Wharton School. You should consider applying. And so I got into a school called Babson in Massachusetts. I got in early action. And then I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go to Babson. And then regular decision, I remember getting the letter. I was like, holy shit, I just got in a Penn. Like, this is crazy. And I applied because a friend's mom told me to apply. I went. And so I show up at Penn, and, you know, Ivanka Trump was a senior at Penn when I was a And I'm just like, this is the weirdest place. I go from an environment where I knew, like, outside of my teachers in school, I knew like one or two college graduates, to like every single person on my floor's parent is a doctor, lawyer, or business person. I'm hanging out with the children of billionaires. And I found it honestly it was so inspiring to see, you know, what one could accomplish in America, and like what opportunities were available if you, you know, put your mind to it and went after it. So I really enjoyed my time at Penn.
Yeah. So a lot of credit goes to your friend's mom for suggesting.
Yeah, that was really funny. I remember her saying it.
Yeah. Very cool. Good story. Awesome. And tell us how you ended up in the Bay Area and eventually started Wonder School.
Yeah, so I was living after college, I worked at a private equity firm named Heitman in Chicago, and I was doing investment there. And I realized that, you know, a private equity career wasn't probably in my best interest. I just wasn't that great at it, didn't really like it that much. And I really underestimated the skill of starting a company. I just took it for granted because it always came sort of easy to me. So, you know, after working in private equity, I actually thought I wanted to be a doctor. I was really, really inspired by a number of books I read, you know, after my time in private equity. In particular, you know, this guy, Paul Farmer, this guy, Mohamed Yanis, they essentially took their skills and applied it to helping people, poor people, people who are marginalized. I thought that that was like a life worth living. I thought that that was something worth doing. So I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So I went and spent a year preparing to be a doctor, realized I didn't want to be a doctor after a year because I just wasn't really interested in the work. Like I didn't think I'd be that great at it. But I thought, oh, you know, I could actually take a lot of those ideas and the goal of helping people and apply it to companies, the thing I'm good at. And when I realized that that was a good idea, I started reading TechCrunch. And I remember seeing one of my best friends from undergrad in TechCrunch. And we were like 23, 24 at the time. And I was thinking, whoa, he's starting a company in the Bay Area. Like I got to go visit him. So I went to go visit him in the Bay Area. And I never came back. I came back to get my stuff and moved back 2 weeks later. And I just was like, the Bay Area is this sort of mecca for entrepreneurship, for entrepreneurs, people moving from all over the world to come and be in an environment where, you know, you have all these resources to help you start a company.
Yeah. And did you go through an accelerator or anything like that?
Yeah, I was in 500 Startups. I was in two accelerators, one called NUMI, one called 500 Startups. They were awesome. And they were really helpful in helping me understand, you know, the ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, what were some of the other stuff that they taught you that you really took heart, you know, kind of took to heart and were able to apply at one?
You know, one thing is like when you have product market fit, you have product market fit. You can tell. Like there were companies in the group where you were just like, yeah, that thing's working. Intercom was in our group. Another company called I don't remember the name of it, but it's a unicorn. And like you knew it was a unicorn then. Like you just sort of know.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing I learned was the importance of growth. When I was running companies prior, you wanted to be profitable. Right. And you wanted a lifestyle, like you wanted to pay your rent. You wanted, but it's a weird switch to think like, no, you want to grow. Like your measurement of success is growth, and like money, you can get money to grow and it just needs to. But then what I didn't learn is unit economics. And I learned that later on in my career. And that's sort of like my thing now. It's like grow with good unit economics or grow knowing you can get to good unit economics. If you do that, you know, the limit is the market size, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so those are the main things I learned.
When was the moment that you knew you had product market fit? Speaking of product market fit.
I knew I had product market fit when I helped three people start childcare programs out of their homes. I visited their programs. I saw them. And I changed three people's lives. And I was like, oh, this is a thing. This will scale.
Yeah.
And I just sort of, and then I realized like the challenge is the execution at this point, not the idea.
Yeah. Let's get into Wonderschool, the service, the product a bit. What exactly is the offering?
So we're a platform, we're an all-in-one platform for a childcare provider. You can come to Wonderschool and start a childcare program. You can operate your childcare program and you can grow your childcare program. We support in-home programs and we support centers. And we provide a number of tools. So we provide a website, a marketplace, so that you can get parents to find your program. We provide tools for managing tours. You can manage open houses. You can manage enrollments, all through our technology. And you can send messages to parents. You can send like on an ongoing basis. You can really just think of it like, think of Airbnb, but think of it like, imagine if Airbnb was used for renting, not only for like a one night stay. It's like Wonderschool helps you for your ongoing process and to get your first enrollment.
Got it. That's great. So I understand you're a pretty active angel investor. What investments have you made?
So I have an angel, I don't know what to call it. I got to figure it out. Maybe like an angel fund or something. But I invest my own personal money. And then I, you know, invest on behalf of a number of investors, like VC investors and angel investors. And it's called Porch Strategy. I named it after my favorite strategy in board games. It's this game called Settlers of Catan. And I'm I love this strategy called Port Strategy, which is where you build actively on ports. And ports allow, and I'm not going to get into the details of it because I can talk about Settlers of Catan all day. But essentially, it's a strategy that looks super weird when you see it for the first time. Like if you're like an active player and you don't know port strategy and you see it, you're like, oh my God, what's that person doing? That looks so stupid. And then that person crushes you. It's like the best strategy. And what I love about it is it looks stupid at first, but then when you realize how good of an idea it is, it's a little too late. It's going to be a thing. And so that's the name of the fund. And I've probably made, I think like 25 investments across a variety of types of investments, crypto, marketplaces, e-commerce, networks, social networks.
It looks like a port in SaaS or in tech.
Yeah. So the way you can typically recognize a port strategy The way you typically recognize a porch, like someone who's going to execute a porch strategy, is it's someone who's really smart. And you can tell they're smart by things they've done in their career or the way they talk to you. And weirdly enough, it shouldn't feel obvious to you. You should feel a little insecure because you don't get it. And then you have to sort of imagine if it did go well, what would happen? And that's the hard part. You really have to push yourself to think about it. But what I found is the best way for me to make investments is just to invest in like my smartest friends. And I often don't even understand what they're doing until I do. And then when I do, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I invested in that company. And so investing is really weird. And that's sort of how I would explain it.
Yeah. I once asked an investor, like a successful entrepreneur who's turned into an angel investor. And I was like, so what's your investment strategy? And he said something similar where he's like, I wish I just invested in my friends. I would have done much better than just trying to like be smart and you know, make all these other bets where if I just invested in my friends, I would have just done just fine.
Yeah.
Smart friends.
I find that like success is usually not as linear as you think it is. And like for me, I'm finding the best way to be a good CEO isn't to like read management books. It's honestly to like work on myself and like hire really good people. It's like weird. I never thought that that's what it would be. And what I found was being an angel investor, the best way to be a good angel investor is just to be like a good person, like be a good person, network, be friends with people and almost use the same skills you would use like when you were like in fifth grade when you make a friend. You don't like become friends with someone because like you could become friends with someone because they have a cool shirt and you start talking to them and like you like talking to them. You feel safe around them. You think they're cool. Those are the people I'm friends with. And those are the people that I've had multiple people like that in my life who started billion-dollar companies and you would have never have known it when you met them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just not have an agenda and just connect on something you both like.
Yeah, totally. It's just be friends with someone. And what I do, honestly, is I'm friends with people. And then they're like, hey, I'm going to start a company. And I'm like, can I invest?
Nice. You double click onto the CEO. How do you work on yourself to become a better leader, a better CEO?
You know, I have coaches. So to become a better CEO, I have coaches, I have a therapist, you know, I have a lot of people who are supporting me. I have investors, I have mentors. And my calendar, weirdly enough, has spent a lot of time talking to them and talking to customers. It's really weird. And like I use a lot of the skills I learned from my mentors with the people who work at Wonder School. So now I find myself being more of a coach to people on my team based on the things that I'm learning from the coaching I'm receiving myself. And I'm finding that we're experiencing the most growth ever. And it's through this pattern and strategy that I'm using that is, again, I feel very counterintuitive to what I like thought being a CEO would be.
Yeah, I have probably on a much earlier journey, but I'm finding I'm too much in the weeds of the business but having a coach and a mentor and then finding ways to apply that coaching to our team, I think has been really helpful. So I can echo that. Yeah.
Totally.
I haven't done the therapist side yet.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My coach today told me this idea is like intention setting. It's like, especially in the Bay Area, it gets very woo woo, but it's this thing's working. It's like woo woo stuff. And essentially what he was saying is like, Chris, what's your intention? And I was telling him like, when I lead all hands, for example, I want to do a better job leading all hands. And I feel nervous leading all hands. And, you know, we were starting to dig into the root of that. And he's like, Chris, like ask the universe, ask your coaches, ask your advisors to help you understand how to lead all hands better and get to the root of that and just name that. And he's like, if you just do that, it things will just align and you'll just start to get better at it. And I've seen this play out multiple times now that it's very strange that, you know, I think these are really great tactics and I'm learning them.
Cool. Going back to the investments, angel investments, you know, investing in smart people, investing in friends. What were some of the investments?
You know, I've invested, let me think of some companies I've invested in that people might know. I invested in this company called Dia & Co., which is a e-commerce company for plus size women. And it's similar to Stitch Fix. And they're, you know, doing really well. I invested in a couple of friends of mine, one woman who started a company called Hip Camp, which is like an Airbnb for camping. And then a friend who started a company called Incredible Health, which is a marketplace for nurses. I invested in a company called Compound, which is a decentralized finance, a cryptocurrency company. I've invested in, yeah, those are the main, those are some that come to mind that are sort of like, have brands that people know. But yeah, I've invested in about 25 companies now, and a number of them are growing really rapidly. In a company called Point, which is like a consumer company for debit cards, YoGov, which is a company that makes it easier for people to manage the government. I've invested in a number of therapy and, you know, mental health companies that are doing really well. And yeah, I love investing and I love, you know, I love seeing entrepreneurs, you know, achieve their dreams. And frankly, I learn a lot from the folks I invest in.
Appreciate that. In terms of Wonder School, to wrap it up, if anyone's interested, what's the best way to engage? It's just go on the website.
Wonderschool.com. Just go there and, you know, you will get what you need.
How does one get in touch with you, Chris?
You can just email me, chris@wonderschool.com.
Cool. Well, thanks for having us on the show. We really appreciate it. And you're very generous with your time. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. And I really enjoyed the time.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Founders with Peck. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform or our YouTube channel. If you leave us a review, I'll be sure to shout it out. And if you have any questions, you can tweet me on Twitter.